beautiful souls, and welcome to the Find Your Feminine podcast with your host, Carly Jade, where we discuss all things harnessing your menstrual cycle, trusting your intuition, and letting go of limiting beliefs. I am a rapid transformational therapy practitioner helping women just like you all over the world find themselves, uncover their soul's purpose, and live an abundant life fully in feminine flow. I am so happy that you've shown up today. And without further ado, ladies, let's jump straight into today's episode. Beautiful souls, welcome back for another episode. Today we have the phenomenal Ricky Hewitt, who I actually met a few months ago. I was invited by a girlfriend to come to one of her Naked Awakening events, and my friend sold it to me as naked yoga. I didn't even really see the ad or the listing or whatever was in it, the event page. I just saw my friend text me naked yoga, and I was like, sign me up, babe. That's my jam. It was just the most powerful, incredible event I've ever been to. It was a little bit of yoga, but it was just like literal awakening. And that is what she calls them, naked awakening. So we touch into her facilitating events in the episode, but Ricky was actually trained by Rosie Reese in Perth. If you haven't heard of Rosie, she actually runs the Yoni Pleasure Palace, and it's just a pillar for all this stuff, obviously. Ricky was the first one in Queensland to be trained as another Naked Awakening facilitator, and I'm so glad she did, because she is changing lives every time she does an event. And Ricky is just dedicated. You can see it and feel it in her energy. She is so dedicated to normalizing, destigmatizing, and desexualizing female nudity through the art of naked yoga, empowered expression, and authentic sensuality. This woman is so passionate about empowering other women to accept their naked bodies, as well as teaching in her workshops methods that can change the relationship that you have with your body as well, because being naked doesn't always mean it has to be sexual. And through this workshop that I did myself with her, with Ricky in Brisbane, I walked out of that room feeling in love with myself. Yes, I was in love with it before, but this is just like a whole nother level. Being able to be seen by women and hold your energy in that, oh, it's just amazing. I am so excited for today's episode. So without further ado, ladies, let's jump straight in. Amazing. Well, we have Ricky on the podcast today, and I'm so excited to have her on board. I first met Ricky when I was invited to one of her Nude Awakening workshops. I initially thought it, my friend was like, come to nude yoga. And I'm like, yeah, babe, let's go to that. But turns out it was like this whole spiritual awakening, which I'm so grateful for, because I will touch on later in the episode, but it literally changed my life. And I'm so grateful for the work that you do today and the women that you're guiding back to themselves. So before we get started, Ricky, what is one thing that is like lighting up your soul today?
I mean, being here with your beautiful face, for sure. I think today, having the lunar eclipse last night and the full moon, I mean, today is such a special day to be talking to you. I have got so much energy pumping through my body right now. And I guess lighting me up today is just the zest for life I have woken up with from this moon. I am so motivated today and just so in appreciation of everything in my life. I'm like on cloud nine.
That's so beautiful. I know that moon was intense, but it was worth it. It was so worth it. And yes, your mom, she's into that. Hey, we were discussing that previously. She's all into like the, do you get like updates from her about like the solar and stuff? What's happening in the universe?
I do. I don't understand it. I don't know all these words of retrograde and, you know, these different things to do with the planets, but she is very much in that world. She lives in Indonesia and she's an intuitive guidance reader. So she speaks to people's guides and gives them I guess, the messages from their guides on what they would like to be sharing in their life, or, you know, stuff like that. So she's definitely in that world.
That's amazing. You sort of just like followed the footsteps. So before we get started, I guess, in all the amazing juicy topics that we'll be bringing up today, I would love for you just to share really on how you got on your path and what you're doing today. Because I know you've got quite a few things under your belt. You do Reiki, yoga, you do those workshops, the Nude Awakening workshops as well, intuitive healer, like all those beautiful things. I would love you to expand on your path and how you found you're feminine.
Yeah, it's definitely a story.
We've got all day.
I definitely did not think that this was where I would be at 30 years old. I was going to be a professional dancer. I think you and I have spoken about this before. We both come from dance backgrounds. I danced all through primary school, all through high school. Straight after high school, I moved from Noosa on the Sunshine Coast down to Brisbane so I could study full time. I was doing an advanced diploma of musical theatre, and I thought my life was going to be traveling the world dancing on cruise liners. That was my dream.
Yeah.
But then about 8 months into my first year of that full-time school, it just became too much. I mean, the people were quite toxic. The environment was not healthy. I know that not all schools are like that, but this was just my experience. And I was also still quite immature and disconnected to my body and what I really wanted. I never took the time after high school to, you know, have that soul searching experience. So it all became too much. I wasn't healthy in my mind, in my body. It started to feel like a chore, the competition, the sister wounds, oh my goodness, the weight, the size, like it was just so judgy and just yuck that I just had to get out of it. And I never wanted to stop dancing. So I started teaching little kids dance closer to home. And then I just had such a huge pull to just get out of Australia and start to see the world. And so for about 10 years, I would work in a bar or telemarketing or waitressing or a coffee shop, and I'd save all this money and I'd go and see a different part of the world, and I'd come back broke and do it all again. And I did that for about 10 years. And along the way, just trying to figure out what lights me up, what are the things that I want to do in this world. And it did take 10 years. I was like, it didn't happen on that first trip. But it really started to form in my mind when I went on my last big trip. So pre-COVID, 2019, I spent about 10 months overseas, and I visited Indonesia, Sri Lanka, Nepal, India, and back to Indonesia. I did a big loop, and it was such a spiritual journey for me. I fell in love with the Nepalese people and their culture and their land. And I did my Buddhist meditation retreats up there, and I did my Reiki level 1 and 2 with a beautiful family in the Himalayas, learning about energy healing. And then I went down to India and did my multi-style yoga teacher training. But all along the way, just figuring out who I am, like that was the trip that really shifted something in me. I was always told growing up that I have healing hands. I was always the one that would intuitively touch someone where they had an ache or pain, or offer a massage, and people would go, oh my God, how do you know how to do that? And it's always been in me, but never nurtured or cultivated properly. And so these were the things, these little trainings that led me into finding my own version of it. I think after doing Reiki level 1 and 2 in Nepal, I started practicing traditional Reiki, but then found over time that it was more intuitive. I needed to break away from the structure, which I think is all kind of energy work and healing modalities, is that you find the way that your body wants to express that form of healing. And for me, physical touch is a huge thing. So I don't call myself a Reiki practitioner. I call myself an intuitive energy healer, because I do massage, I work with essential oils, I work with crystals, we do acupressure and energy release, and it's all different every time. You can come and lay on my table and it's going to be different every single time. Whatever wants to come out or whatever needs to be done, my body will just be guided to do. And I also do distance healing And that, again, itself is completely different. It's like a Zoom call. And I find that when I'm doing distance healing, I get the downloaded messages and guidance that I can then share with you, whereas I don't have that connection when I'm doing in person. So it's really cool how I've kind of navigated my way to find the way that it works for my body. And I absolutely love that. I love it so much. I can put all the things together that I love to do.
That's so beautiful. And like, I'm very much the same with the structure. Like, yes, I was taught hypnotherapy, but through my intuition, like yourself, I've sort of worked out my own little method. It's not textbook, but it's where people get the most healing. It's where I get the most drop-ins of like channeling what they need at that time. And I think that's so important. And that is the path of the feminine as well. It's trusting that guide and that innate divine essence within you. And I think a lot of women, like when you're probably going through the dance theater thing, I know I was like that, probably around a similar age as well. It's like we're taught so early to disconnect from our bodies. I was doing a talk on Sunday and I was speaking about how like we don't even like name our pussy. Like I didn't have a name for her growing up. So it's like shameful, or we call it like the pee-pee or the wee-wee. And like, that's where all of my energy comes from. And like, that's where I birth things into the world. I'm not a mom yet, but like all of my creations literally come from her. Anyone listening, whether like, I don't know my purpose. I just want to remind them that like, yeah, Ricky took 10 years trying to find, I guess, where she is now. It's not always going to be like overnight, like light bulb moment, like, oh yes, this is what I'm going to do. And I also believe like, this is what's lighting up your soul right now, but it's probably not what you're going to do forever. It's like, and giving that permission to pivot and just go with the flow of life and what is lighting you up in that moment. But such a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing. That would have been so nice just to like, yeah, travel so much and do that training, Reiki training overseas in Nepal. How beautiful.
Oh. Yeah, I feel very lucky that I was able to do that the year before COVID.
Yeah.
Because I guess I didn't fully answer your question about me coming into the feminine. I just got sidetracked with the whole energy healing thing because that's a fun story.
Yeah.
But the whole getting in touch with my feminine thing happened while I was traveling that year. My cousin, who I'm very, very close to, she's like my best friend, attended one of Rosie Reese's new Yoga with Rosie workshops in Brisbane. And she messaged me on Facebook afterwards and she said, oh my God, when you get back, we need to do this. This is so you. I want to take you there. You're going to love it, because I've never been fully uncomfortable with my nudity, although it was a different, like that's a whole other kettle of fish. I mean, being comfortable with your nudity, but I've always been quite comfortable in a situation where I have to take my clothes off. So I knew that this was going to be something that I would enjoy. And so when I got back, I went to one of Rosie's workshops and I sat there in the circle of women and we are just lit by candles and she is just guiding you through the most transformative experience of revisiting and reconnecting your relationship to your body and your sensuality, which was something that I grew up with shame around, definitely around the feminine and around anything involved with feminine, you know, menstrual cycles and self-pleasure and all of that was so shut down for me because of the societal shame that was stigmatized around it. And so I was sitting there in this room full of women and there's a beautiful sensual yoga flow in the midst of this 3-hour workshop and moving my body in that way and just looking around the room and seeing these women just totally in their goddess, and but it not being a sexual experience, right? Like making it a sensual but not sexual experience. I sat there and I was like, I want to fucking do this. I want to be Rosie. Like I could totally sit here and guide these women through this. But of course, that was then the beginning of me actually connecting to that part of myself, not just saying I could do it, but actually putting in the work and starting that journey for myself. And that was a long journey. I started with Layla Martin on YouTube doing all things Tantra. And then I found Ronya Sebastian and I did a Tantra retreat of hers in Bali. And then who else was there? Oh my God, there's so many amazing women out there doing this kind of work. But then, yeah, that was the journey for me. It took me a couple of years
And then Rosie announced she was doing her first facilitator training. And that was literally a couple of weeks before COVID hit. I flew to Perth and I did the training with Rosie. And I am now Queensland's Naked Awakening facilitator. And that has just changed my life, because I have the freedom within being a facilitator for women to add all of my modalities, my essential oils, my crystals, my energy healing, the things that I am passionate about and the experiences that I have lived through, and then can now teach other women. And so that has so much stepped me into my feminine. Is Rosie's amazing opportunity to become this facilitator.
Yeah, and you were so meant for it. I haven't told you this, but a lot of the women that come to me for confidence, I always recommend them to your workshop. There was a client last week, she's like, she came to me for relationships. I'm like, you got to date yourself, girl, first. We're going to focus on you first. And I was like, oh my God, you're from the Gold Coast. Ricky has a workshop next week, and I don't know whether she bought a ticket, but yeah, I think everyone at least once should do this, because even though like I went with a girlfriend and she's never done anything like this before, and we came out of it and she looked at me and she was like, that was the most comfortable experience I've ever had in my life. And I was naked the whole time. And I was like, yeah, you were. And I think a lot of us, not only are you holding space, but you're giving permission for women to feel, because so often we're not allowed to feel. And going through those emotions of like fear and anger and sadness and sensuality, like or sexual feelings as well, and feeling safe with all of them. I think quite often we think that anger is like, oh, I'm not an angry person, let's just shut it down. Like, I'm such a happy person. Look at me, I'm smiling all the time. And like with my clients, sometimes they come and they're like, oh, I hate crying. Sorry if I cry in front of you. I'm like, girl, I cry like every day. Like, let's make crying normal. Crying is a sad thing. It's like, it's a release. It's like going to the toilet for me. It's just like, you need to purge it out some way, shape or form. So I think you do a really beautiful job of not only that holding space, like even in the opening circle where you get us to pass around that crystal on, which is so good. And just like when we hold it, like at that talking stick, and we hadn't even started yet, and all these women were just like opening their hearts and expressing them, feeling safe in that circle, and just feeling a sigh of release, knowing that whatever they say, anything they say, it's like, I'm getting goosebumps now, anything they say is like seen and heard and supported. And like, we need more of that. And I'm so grateful that you found that path of you like what you're doing. What would be some reasons as to why you feel women or that you see with your clients and people that come to your workshops, women are a bit scared to open up to that side, or a bit resistant, or they might be triggered as well from what you post and all those other things as well?
Oh, 100%. I think it is such a taboo topic. I mean, people, they read Naked Awakening, Women's Nude Yoga, and of course the first thing that comes to your mind is a typical yoga class, just in the nude, you know, bright lights on, people sitting behind you doing downward dog. And it's so hard to express to people what is actually involved unless you actually arrive. And because people think like their first idea of what the workshop is that, they go, oh, fuck no, I'm not doing that. Like, what the hell? That is so weird and uncomfortable. But it's so much more. It's a deep healing experience. We sit in a circle. We're only lit by candles. It's a completely sacred space. And people feel resistant to that because it's scary. It's fucking scary to be vulnerable and to be authentic. And a lot of the time, people are scared of what is going to be unleashed within themselves. Like, the power that we hold inside can be very scary. Like, we all know that there is a wild woman in there, this sensual goddess unleashing, surrendering, embodying that feminine divine nature. And that can be scary for some. You know, you might come from a Christian family, or you might come from an abusive family, and all of that was never taught to be allowed. Authentic expression was never taught to be allowed. Touching yourself, enjoying things, having pleasure in every moment was never allowed. And so it's really, really scary to be vulnerable, to have that courage to show up, to do the stuff that society has always told us is not allowed, not accepted. And I think that's the main thing, is that you have to book that ticket, to drive there and to show up. That is the most challenging part, right? Like, once you get there and you feel the energy of the space, and I always greet everyone with a nice, warm, tight hug, and I just feel their bodies relax, the tension just come out of their bodies. But it's deciding to book that ticket, clicking that button, driving there, showing up. That is the hardest part. And so I always say to the women that once you arrive, like, that was you jumping off the cliff out of your comfort zone. Everything from here on out is just going to be a release. You know, it's going to be fantastic. People are so embodied and enlightened and ecstatic after these nights. But I think that's probably, yeah, the biggest resistance is just fear. We are so controlled by fear.
Yeah, 100%. And also, like, we're not also taught how to release fear. Like, I'm reading, have you read Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski?
Yes.
You have? I haven't finished it yet. You've got it.
I'm actually reading that right now. I've got like 4 books on the go.
It's like a zip, and then it's like a vagina opening, but it's a zip. I think that's the front. Yes. So good.
I am reading it right now. You know why? Because my mum read it and said, Ricky, you need to get onto this.
Yeah. And one thing that she was explaining, everyone explains this, but she explained it so well, like the trauma cycle, or the when we're in fight or flight. And I did a talk on the weekend and I was like, you will never feel confident unless you feel safe in your body. And you won't feel safe in your body until your body knows it's safe and you're out of that fight or flight. And I think so many women and men, but mainly a lot of women, don't know how to regulate or finish that cycle. It's like, yes, you're in fight or flight, but then they keep continuing. They look at their phone, they look at their emails, they go to work, they're stressed with home or stressed with kids and stressed with husband. And like, they just think, honestly, it hurts my heart when people think that this is just forever or this is just how their life is. And there's no way out. And I know everyone sort of has a path of like how they open up to things like that as well. But one of the biggest things that what you've said to me constantly replays in my head at that Naked Awakening course. And you said, when we were about to cry, you're like, okay, cry. And I'm like, I can't cry on demand. Like, what? And then when we were sitting there, I wasn't. And then I lied down, went in the fetal position, and I just wailed. And you said this one thing that constantly, probably every day, comes into my head. Like, how often do we allow ourselves to like literally wail into a pillow? Because I cry a lot, but I never like, like let it all out. And that can be really scary. And ever since that was like the biggest takeaway I got from that, because I was like, I shake when I feel fear, and I do all those things. I've been on a path probably like the last 6 months doing a lot of embodiment practices, but crying, like I would do like a Kim Kardashian, like, but it was like a full like wail. And that has been like the most freeing thing. So I just wanted to thank you for that, because I haven't done so already. In your head, your voice is always in my head, which is so nice.
No, that I love hearing that, you know, because I always try and ask for feedback from people afterwards if they're willing to give it, because I always want to know what resonates with people. What are the aha moments, the things that really push your buttons? Where were you challenged? Like, those things help me as a facilitator to keep creating beautiful workshops. And I should probably let the listeners know that you actually attended, I run themes. So my workshops are Naked Awakening, but I run different themes. So my original theme that I've been running for almost a year now is A Journey Through Self-Love. That is the workshop that I would suggest every woman start with. But my new theme, which you came to my very first one, was emotional energy release. And so that's what you're talking about, is we deep dive into fear, sadness, sexual energy, and fear. What is it? Fear, sadness, sexual energy, and anger. Yes. And so we actually bring those emotions up in our body, feel how they are as sensations in the body. That whole workshop is about learning to authentically express, giving yourself permission to express, not holding anything back, just the dis-ease and just yuck that builds in our body from repressed energies and stagnant energies. That workshop is
huge. That's such a big physical workshop, and to think that it's all done in the nude is
I guess already intense, and just add another thing onto it.
Yes, it is a deep dive. And so I love to offer those two themes as a double experience, like come to the self-love workshop and then 2 weeks later come to the emotional energy release. And it is a huge month of processing and integration. And something else that I find hugely important, which only came to me after about 6 months of running the workshops, is that there needs to be ongoing support for this kind of work. Like, these women come, they show up, they're in that experience, all of those layers and masks are getting removed. You're courageous, you're vulnerable, you're embodied. But then you step out of that sacred space and back into your reality, which could be toxic, negative, you know, overwhelming, and you lose all that beautiful stuff that we cultivated in that space together. And so I've created a little private group. We're called the Nude Sisterhood. And anyone who attends any of my Naked Awakening events is initiated into this group. And so we've got a private Facebook group where everyone can just chat, talk about things that are coming up for them, ask for support, just vent, bullshit, yabba jabba. Like, it's for whatever you want. But we hold regular meetups so that these women who are, you know, have this one thing in common can come together and still build sisterhood. We're fighting those sister wounds that we were all raised with, you know, mother wounds, sister wounds, all of that stuff. So we're also building a community of women who are on this path, and we can hold each other accountable. And that came to me only after 6 months of running workshops, is like, there needs to be something else that we can continue together after this initial experience. And a lot of these women come back again and again and again to my workshops, because although the structure, you know, is the same, the workshops are never the same. Like, I'm so intuitive with the way that I work that it's so different every time. The messages that come through me, the energy of the room, that, you know, there's 18 other women sometimes. That's the biggest I've ever done. And so the energies are different. You get partnered up, and that's a different experience again. So although it's the same workshop, it's going to be so different. And if you've been to one, there's more layers that come off at the next, and then there's more layers that come off at the next, and you can go deeper and deeper into that journey. And so, yeah, ongoing support, accountability, and sisterhood building is something that's become really, really important to me.
Yeah. And yeah, like, I went through my own sisterhood wounding. Like, I think a year ago, if I saw my friend, because a year ago now I was just starting my business, if I saw a friend doing better than me, I would feel so bad. I couldn't support her. I couldn't praise her. I couldn't be like, oh my God, yes, girl. But now I literally, as soon as my friends have like any successes or failures, I'm like, yes, I love you. Like, tell me everything. Let's like celebrate. What are you doing? Like, let's go out. And just like, I love them so much. And the women that are in their own essence, that fulfills me. Like, it's, and it has nothing to do with me. And I think everyone, we were just raised in a patriarchal society. So that is just normal for us. And I think a lot of us are now more than ever, because I do a little bit of past life work, and a lot of like a lot of my past lives, I was like a, there was a few where I was witches, and a lot of my friends were as well. And like, it's not until this year in 2020 or 2021 that we are actually safe to be ourselves. Like, imagine if what you were doing like 10 years ago, it probably wouldn't sit well. Yeah. Like, there's an initiation happening. And I said this on my podcast, my Instagram this week, and it was a quote or an analogy by Bruce Lipton. And he said, what's sort of happening now is sort of like the caterpillar and butterfly. So the caterpillar on the plant, he finishes, he eats, devours the leaves of the plant. And then he, the caterpillar goes into the cocoon, he hibernates, and then he comes out and be about a beautiful butterfly. And I feel this is what's happening with women, but more so the world as well. Like, we destroy the world. Women, we destroyed ourselves. We have no confidence in ourselves. We're not connecting with our bodies, our intuition, our guidance, our goddess is within. And then COVID happened. That was sort of like, I feel like the initiation. I'm so grateful for COVID. And then, because I literally would not be here if it wasn't for COVID. And then we all went inside our cocoons. We had to get trapped into our home. Like, there's nowhere else to face right now. And then now all of the women, like, you doing the work, I think that was so divinely guided, going to Perth and having your facilitated training, because like if you weren't here right now where the women can't travel, imagine, right? And yeah. Now we're all able to spread our wings and to be these enlightened beings in the world and trust everything within us that is so, so divine. What would be like your biggest lesson or message that you would love to give the women that are listening today, or the men? Hello, men, if you're listening. I don't know how many. they don't give me the stats on male and female in my podcast. but what would be like a lesson or a quote or a guide that you want to give the women today?
Ooh, interesting. I mean, there's so many things, isn't there? I think maybe to learn to enjoy, what would the words be? I like what's coming to me, like authenticity is coming to me. The comfort zone thing is coming to me. I really feel like the message would be to try and enjoy the things that are uncomfortable. Okay, that's it. Enjoy the discomfort, because with discomfort comes growth. A lot of people start their journey and then they, you know, they hit a point where it's like, oh my God, this is so fucking hard. I can't do this. I'm feeling this. I'm hurting here. It's changing my life. My friends don't like me anymore. Like there's so many glass ceilings, right, on the journey to finding your authentic truth. And I feel so blessed that I have been through that myself. I've lived those experiences. I've felt that pain. And I'm at a point now in my journey when I can see them for what they are and see them for those milestones. Like most people think your happiest moments and your wins are your biggest milestones. But I believe your lowest lows and the way that you carry yourself out of those, those are your fucking highlights. Like that should be our montage and our highlight reel. It's so easy for us to remember the bad times in life, right? We always forget, you know, the little good things that happen, but we hang on to those really, really hard, difficult, sad moments. And it's because we see them as negative things. And this is what I love about the emotional energy release work, is to be the observer for the feeling in your body. Don't put an attachment to it. Don't put an expectation to it. Sit with what you're feeling. And it obviously takes a lot of work, but you can learn to enjoy those moments and those feelings, because from that discomfort comes then your growth. It's the butterfly, you know? So that would be, yeah, that would be my message for today.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, I think it's just so beautiful watching women come back to self. Like I strongly believe like everyone chose their parents. They chose, like their soul chose them to be here at that time. And I feel like everyone on this planet right now, we always have a purpose, but like right now it's very, very special. Like we're going through something so unique that hasn't been before. And just going, like you said, Ricky, like going through that uncomfort on the other side of that, it's like on the other side of that, it's just like pure bliss. Oh, I'm so, so excited for where we're going. What would be with your one-on-one work? What are some common things that you see women maybe like their breakthroughs or beliefs that they have within them in their body or any parts of their body that they hold onto that trauma as well, that they feel and how it plays out in their life?
Well, I don't actually do one-on-one work.
There we go.
I would love to. At this point in time, I haven't got the capacity. There's so much that I'm building with my women's workshops, because not only with Naked Awakening Facilitator, I also do a lot of collaborations. I'm on the board as Queensland's coordinator for Get Naked Australia.
Amazing. I didn't you announced that. I've been following them for ages, but they said the Instagram thing, they got in trouble by Instagram and now they had to change.
Got deleted.
What's with that?
Oh, you know, I mean, we had a good run, 5 years you know, 250,000 followers. And I think just the policy changes in the last month have really become a big deal for a lot of people that do this kind of work. And so our page was deleted. We can't review it. So we created another page, and literally just last night that got deleted again. So I think that there are people who are reporting us. You know, not everyone believes in normalizing nudity. But that's a whole journey in itself, is this work on social media. Unfortunately, that's where all the traffic is right now. And we're looking for another platform, but we need to get on social media to then get people to the other platform. So I've had my personal pages deleted before, because everything I do is taboo. I got to be very careful with what I share and post. I don't do one-on-one at the moment. I would love to in the future, but I do feel like, what was your question? Because I could answer it as a group capacity.
Yeah, like, beautiful. What are the common blocks or like thing? There's so many ways I can ask the question, but like common beliefs that women believe about themselves before they come to your workshop. So whether they're like, I'm not enough, or like where they keep their stagnant energy, or like how they trap things in their body as well, whether that plays out physically or mentally or spiritually as well. If anyone's listening, they could be like, oh, that's me as well.
Yeah. Oh God. Everyone has such an intense story. We do have a sharing circle, as you mentioned earlier at the beginning of the workshop, and that is a time where you just have the stage. No one's allowed to offer advice, cross coach you, touch you, offer you a tissue if you're crying. It's literally just you having a moment to authentically and express anything that needs to come out of you based around your body image or your emotional struggles. And for a lot of women, that is the first time in their life that they've ever been given permission to just speak without knowing that anyone is going to try and fix you, you know, quote unquote, fix you. And so all these women, just their hearts get ripped open, and they share these things that they didn't even think they were going to share, that they probably have never even admitted to themselves. And we get around to the end of the circle, and I get the talking stick back, and it is, well, it's a crystal pleasure wand, but it's absolutely on fire with the energy of these women. And I look around the room, and I look at them all, and I say, every single one of you probably thought you were alone on your journey and alone in your experience, and no one is going to understand what you've been through, and no one can support or help you. But every single one of us can resonate with a part of every other woman's story, and that we are not alone. We are never alone. And now I've forgotten your question.
No, I think you answered it perfectly.
What is the breakthrough or the things that they hold on to? Everyone has the same shit. We all think we're alone. We're unworthy. There's, you know, external validation. We don't think we're good enough. We're not rich enough. No one will want me. I can't do this. I can't do that. I want to be here. I can't, like, it's just, it's all the limiting beliefs that we have put on ourselves, and society has put on us as women, and parents, and co-workers, and school friends. And just, we get bombarded with so much fucking toxicity that it's almost impossible to be in this life without any of that. I mean, it is impossible, but it's knowing that you're not alone, and that everyone can hold you. There are people out there. You will always have support if you ask. And that's also why the Nude Sisterhood is something I'm so passionate about, is because everyone then kind of looks around the room and goes, oh my God, like, everyone's felt how I felt, and I thought I was alone, but now I've got people who I can talk to it about, and they can share what's working for them. And yeah, it's just a huge, huge self-doubt that everyone carries on every level, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. It's big.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
So beautiful. But I guess it's like, yeah, we're all put on this earth, but we just have to live in a human body and have a human experience. And this is just part of it, which is so nice. One thing that I do want to ask you is about your crystal wands and self-pleasure through this modality. So I know you what would you call it, like an ambassador or
an affiliate?
Affiliate with yes. Rosie Rees and the Yoni Pleasure palettes, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I got gifted recently. So funny. Like, I've never bought any of my wands. They all got gifted to me. Like, I have 3 Yoni crystal eggs. I've got a Squirter wand from Asti Marie. I've got Juliet Pleasure wand for like a curved one I got for my partner as a gift. And then I got gifted the Rosie Rees Rose Quartz wand as well. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like at this point where I'm like, I have so many, but I'm like, I use the curved one as my de-armoring practice, but I'm yeah. still yet to like find like a juiciness with the other ones. And sometimes I am still a woman and I can be a little bit intimidated, and it's so easy for me to just be like, oh, I'll just get the vibrator. I've actually asked my partner a few times. I'm like, you need to hide it because it's addictive. Anyone?
They definitely are.
Right? It's like a quick release. Sometimes I'm really impatient. I'm like, I don't want to sit here for 20 minutes. I know I should. What would be one, like anything that, what would you say to anyone that wants to get started on more of a sensual pleasure practice with these wands and modalities that you do sell and use and promote as well?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing would definitely be that there is nothing wrong with a vibrator. You are not bad. You are not wrong. You are not doing it wrong. Like, it is okay to own a vibrator,
yeah.
but it's not okay to rely on that vibrator.
Yeah. Yeah.
So exactly. Everyone's allowed that quick fix. I mean, we're busy fucking women. Like, we're in our masculine a lot. We are doing the shit. Sometimes we just need that.
Yeah.
But you are right. It's a completely different connection to self and to sensuality using something that's not synthetically made, something that hasn't got that added vibration to it. And if you're wanting to explore, the things that I say to my women after the workshops, because I have a lovely little table set up in my workshops with all of the Yoni Pleasure Palace products and a few of my own beautiful items, is that it's intuition for me is number one. That's also why I like to sell them in person, because especially with crystals, like, of course, you can use glass as well. But if you are called to crystals, I like to be able to touch them and feel them and gauge the energy. So offering them in person to me is really important. And if you are wanting to start that journey of, you know, cutting your vibrator use down and getting into the crystal and glass pleasure toys, is to trust your intuition. Start with something like the basic pleasure wand, where it is larger at one end and it tapers down to a smaller end and it's just straight. And you can really just begin with something subtle instead of going for the bumpy, curvy things that, you know, they all have such different reasons and benefits and uses. But starting with something nice and soft and basic, and even starting with a yoni egg, like, get yourself a large sized yoni egg, because what people don't realize is 3 sizes: small, medium, large. People think you start with the smallest and you work your way up, but it's actually the other way around.
Oh,
you start with the largest egg and then you work your way to the smallest egg, because obviously in the beginning you are wanting to train those muscles, so you start with the heaviest egg. And you also are wanting to be able to feel every sensation that's coming from the practices and the movements and wearing it. And so if you start with the smallest one, you'll just be walking around going, is there anything in there? You know, like, we're used to wearing tampons and stuff, and so it's like, I don't even know if anything's in there. So you start with the largest egg and then you work your way to the smallest. But if you're wanting to try it, just do it. I mean, don't go for the big scary toys. Definitely start with a large yoni egg or a straight tapered pleasure wand. I always recommend to start with rose quartz, because it is such a gentle, nurturing, supportive and soft energied stone. But also, if you are not interested in using crystals, the glass ones are just as amazing. And I think Rosie's actually even got ceramic dildos now, which...
What?
Yes, they are. They look very funky. So, you know, if you're feeling creative, go that way.
But that's amazing.
Trust your intuition. There is a lot of information on YouTube as well. A lot of beautiful women who have their own products have made beautiful videos. And it's about making it a sacred moment. You know, masturbation is so different to self-pleasure. I believe that the vibrator equals masturbation and these other pleasure items are your self-pleasure. It's a ritual. You are having an initiation with yourself and to your pleasure and your sensuality.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. I'm starting my eggs this afternoon. I just got the floss delivered today and I'm like, that's good to know because I would have started off small.
Yeah. It's such a common, I mean, anyone would think that. It just, you know, usually that's what you do. You start at the gym with smaller weights and then you work your way up. But this is the opposite.
Yeah. Beautiful. Oh, so special. Okay, last question for you today, Ricky. I wanted to learn, I know a lot of listeners or a lot of the people that follow me, they're always intrigued about like the feminine, the masculine and like, what the fuck is it? Because there's so much people talking about it nowadays. So my question for you is, were you always in like your balanced, healthy, feminine or masculine? Because we have both. Or did you have to do some work around getting to the place that you are now? Or what's your journey in that as well?
I mean, hell no, I am not balanced in my healthy masculine and feminine. I didn't even realize that that was a thing until probably the last couple of years. And even then, just hearing about polarities, I didn't really take the time to look into it and understand it. Yeah. And I can definitely say that right now I am not healthy and I'm not balanced. And I don't think, actually looking back, I don't think I have ever found that sweet spot. Because it's only in the last 2 years that I've really stepped into my power and who I am, but I haven't actually spent the time to create my boundaries around my healthy masculine and feminine. So this question actually triggers me because it's like, oh, you haven't done that work, you know? And you're not like, how can you sit there and guide women through this feminine experience if you are not in that yourself? And so I love that trigger. Like I told you before, with discomfort comes growth. So when something like that shows up in me, I'm like, ooh, here we go. Here's another layer to live in. Right now in this point in time, I have pushed my feminine aside. Like consciously, I've pushed it aside. I quit my part-time job on the last day of 2020. And as of the 1st of January, 2021, I stepped away from that life and I was a sole trader, you know, creating this business of mine as Ricky Yowett. And in order to do that, my masculine has really come to the surface. And I know this because I see how it is affecting me in my relationship with my partner. And with how I communicate with people, I am just so much more in my masculine power at the moment. And you know what? That's okay. It's okay to have these ebbs and flows of being in your different polarities. We can't always be balanced. Like, we're just fucking human. We just got to do what we got to do. But I think the awareness and being conscious of it is the main thing. Like, I'm allowing myself to sit in my masculine right now because I feel this is what I need to do. And that's okay. And my partner's cool with it. He's a wonderful man. he can see what's happening in my world. And your first year of business is always your hardest. So my masculine is very much there. But when I am in my facilitator mode, when I am in the space of guiding women into reconnecting with their bodies and their sensuality and releasing past traumas and shame around their body image, my feminine comes to the surface and she is so fucking raw and beautiful and powerful. And so I still get to have that experience of being in my feminine. But it seems to only be when I'm facilitating at the moment, because in that space of the actual energy of the feminine being awoken in everyone else and unleashed in everyone else, it comes forth in me. I tell the women when they step into my space for this workshop, your masculine is left at the door, and this is your full permission to surrender into your sensual goddess. Like the masculine is gone. But of course, being a facilitator, I still have to have my masculine there. I can't just fully let go. Otherwise it would just be, woo, chaos.
Yeah.
Creative chaos.
Exactly. It sounds like you have them perfectly balanced. And I think it's different for everyone. Like, I think there's a lot of teachers out there where it's like, you need to be more feminine and you need to let go of the masculine, or there's like different things where you need to have like a perfect container so then you can surrender. But I think there's different times in our life where you like you've just summed up perfectly, like one of them's going to come more into the forefront. And yes, like I can totally agree with that. The first year of business is like hard. I'm almost in my first, like finished my first year. And now I've only just started to feel like myself, and my feminine is only just coming in like really divinely. Like before it was like, it was there. It was so funny how this like, this podcast name came up. Like it was just in the shower and I'm like, I want to do a podcast one day. And I was like, what should I name it? And then find your feminine. But I was like, are you telling me to find my feminine, or is that the podcast name? I was really confused. But I think there's different ways in which we can do it, but being like what you just said, conscious and aware, and like when these things like are needed as well. And when surrender is needed, and when other times that you're going to have to be like strong and hold the fort. And I think, yeah, it's a beautiful analogy as well. But thank you for sharing. I think you're killing it. It's amazing.
Thank you.
And something that my coach talks about a lot, and that's probably been the basis of my coaching course with her for like the past 2 months. It's just like, I don't get it. Like, can you tell me? Like, I'm so confused. And now she sort of like sums it up, and how basically like for business, this one thing that I want to share that she told me that might help you as well. She had me explain my relationship with my partner, and she's like, so he's the masculine, right? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, hey. She's like, how do you feel in his presence? I'm like, I'm fully supported. Whatever goes wrong, like I know that I will never be that bad. Like I know that he's always got me, and I just feel really safe in his presence. And like, there's nothing like the worst of the worst thing that I think could come in my head, as long as he's there, like it's fine. And then she's like, now I want you to transfer that presence of that masculinity into like your business container, and you just come in as the feminine. And I'm like, oh yeah. She's like, so what happens when you're in your masculine? I'm like, sword. She's like, yeah, we call it like a double-ended like penis, just like going at each other, because it's no like surrender and receive. And I think it took me a little bit to get my head around it, but when I did, I was like, oh okay, so like even if I don't make any one-on-one clients this week, it's not the end of the world. I'm still helping people. When people like this doesn't go my way, to let go of the force, I guess, and just to let things organically happen and flow, because it's all what's needed. And I think a lot of us think that like if we don't work really hard at our business, that will fail, or like it will cascade into nothingness. Like over Christmas and New Year's, I took off almost a month of social media, and like yourself, like social media is the driving force. It's where all my clients come from. But there was just like this innate thing being like, next year's going to be massive, and if you don't take a break off now, you're going to be drained. And I'm like, okay. So I listened to it and it was amazing. It was really hard the first couple of days, because I usually chat on social media with my friends, and like they all have businesses and we support each other so much. So I was craving that, because I was just at home and doing nothing. No one was home. And I'm like, oh, I have no friends anymore. I mean, I have their messages, I have their phone number, but it's like not the same, you know? Like I want to see what they're up to. So that was hard. But yeah, it was really nice to have that break. And it's still a journey and a process that everyone goes through, like coming back to yourself and like learning your authenticness and your purpose and all those beautiful things. It's like learning how to balance it. And I don't think they'll always be balanced anyway. Like it's sort of just like a scale.
Perfection is impossible. And the people who strive for perfection, it's just going to make it so, the journey so unenjoyable, because it's not a realistic goal. Yeah, like there's no right or wrong way. Like you are not wrong if you are too much masculine or you are too much feminine. And like I definitely want your listeners to know that is that you are not broken, you are not wrong, you are not doing it wrong, you haven't fucked up. But it's 100% just awareness and consciousness around what you are allowing, you know, it to be in your life. You can be in your masculine. A lot of women now are so much more in their masculine than, of course, we were when we were just all stay-at-home mums and we just cooked and cleaned and we had to do all that. We are now business owners. Yeah. We are now CEOs. We do everything ourselves. We're single mums. We're working the jobs. We're raising the kids. Like we are so much more in our masculine these days as women. And there's nothing wrong with that. sometimes we have to do that just to survive. But yeah,
allowing yourself to reconnect to that feminine is so important.
Yeah. And then you can just pick and choose which one you want at different times. Be like, I want to be in this today.
Put your hat on, take that hat off, do this, yeah, do that.
Yeah. Oh, so beautiful. From your work that you do today, the space that you hold and the guidance that you give to all these women, what do you hope for the world? Like, what is your biggest wish that you hope to bless everyone with at the end of the day when you leave?
Oh, I mean, there's so many things. There's so many answers to all your questions. But I think the one thing that I would love to see in the world, and not just women, like I work only with women now, but I see my future opening up to mixed gender. But right now, my one thing I would love to see in the world is people owning their authenticity, feeling like they are able to be their authentic selves, owning their shit, and not being afraid of vulnerability. Yeah, authentic vulnerability is the one thing that I would love to see everyone walking down the street just strutting their stuff, knowing they're doing their work and, you know, being themselves all the time without fear of judgment or comparison or, you know, you're weird and we don't want to be friends with you. Just being like, this is me. You don't want this? Goodbye. Authentic expression. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. And I think it's very important, like what you said with both sexes, because I did an episode recently where I was like, it's turned into a bit of a witch hunt for men now. It's like men don't feel safe as well. Like the beautiful men that are in our lives, like they don't feel safe expressing themselves because they need to be like this macho man and show no feelings and vulnerability and open up. And like, not only do they feel like that, we feel like that. And no one's living authentically. Like we ask more so now, but imagine a world where everyone could be in the elements. Like I said, I don't think we should ever be equal to, because we will never be like men and men will never be like us. We've got our own special, unique essences to us. And it's like understanding each other that we're both the same worth of like everything else, but we're never going to be equal, because I don't think a man and a woman that is different, like yin and yang, they're not equal, they're different, but they go in cohesive with each other as well. And I think like we need the polarity in our world. So that is a very beautiful wish, and I know you'll achieve it because it's already happening. And Brisbane's a small world. Like as soon as like I know you've only been doing this for how long now?
Oh, I mean, I got trained in February of 2020, but then COVID hit. So I didn't run my first workshop until mid to late last year.
Yeah, exactly. And we're only in May or June. I don't know.
The end of May. Yeah.
And it was so funny. Remember when before I went to your workshop, I was in Byron Bay at the farm and they have like a bulletin board and I was looking up all the things that were there because it's got heaps of cool healing things. And I stumbled across a photo of you and you're on the bulletin board, and then you texted me. You're like, hey, just making sure you're coming this week. And I was like, that was weird. So I think, yeah, it's so good to have people like you that are standing up and leading and initiating these women and making them feel safe, because it takes a lot of balls and courage to be the guide as well, which is really, really special. So thank you for the work that you do. For anyone that wants to work with you as well, or attend one of your workshops, this will be live next week, so you can share any ones that you've got coming up from then onwards as well.
Yeah. So my website, so rikkiyowart.com.au. So it's RIKKIYEOWART. I am just finalizing the website, so that's exciting for me. At the moment, most of my traffic is coming from Instagram and Facebook until the website is fully functioning, but it is still live. You can go in there and sign up to my mailing list and have a look at upcoming events. But just DM me on Instagram or Facebook, Rikki Yowart. It's just my name. I'm the only one in the world of me, so you can easily find me. And yeah, send me a message. Have a look in my Linktree bio. That's all upcoming workshops. I've got Gold Coast happening this Friday, but by the time this is released, that'll be done.
Yeah.
So
June 4th and June 18th is my next double experience in Brisbane. So on the 4th is the journey through self-love, and on the 18th is the emotional energy release. So beautiful. That's the one you can come to and have the full month's powerful integration.
Oh, so incredible. So beautiful. And I probably should ask you this first. Is there any parting words that you want to leave with the women today?
Yes, definitely. I feel like now that I've been running these workshops for a while and they are getting more consistent and I'm filling the spaces, tickets selling, I feel like a lot of women are starting to put me on a pedestal as the facilitator of something so big like this and so life-changing for some women. They start to say, I'm your number one fan, and, you know, can I get a photo with you? And that's great. But I just want everyone to know that we are all the fucking same. I still have shit days. I'm still learning. I am not a master at anything to do with life. And the reason we sit in a circle and I'm not up on stage with a microphone attached to my head is because every workshop, the women that are there are also teaching me. Like, I'm facilitating a transformation, but I am learning and growing in myself with every workshop. And I still cry over my same stories that I share in the sharing circle of my past and what brought me here. And I just want people to know that I'm just like you. And I think all women or all humans that are facilitators of such transformative work, no one is higher than you. Just because I'm a few years ahead of you on my journey and my path has led me to facilitate these changes does not mean that I still don't have my shit days. And I struggle with money. I have relationship issues. Like, I'm just a real person, but I'm so passionate about being the guide for myself and other people to expand and grow in their lives.
Oh, how special. So special. Oh, thank you. I know a lot of people are going to get so much from this episode, and I'm just so grateful for, I've said this a million times, but having an open heart today as well, because then we can just hopefully just someone listening to this episode today can have a little aha moment or a light bulb moment and just attend one of her workshops, because you need to. It's so good.
Yeah. I mean, if you do, just like, if you don't want to attend a workshop yet, it's okay. Like, sometimes it takes women 6 months of sitting on the fence to build up that courage to come. Yeah. And that is totally fine. That's the journey you need to go through. But if you've got questions or something I said today lit you up or it triggered you, message me. Like, I want to know. I want to talk to you about this. Maybe I can say something that'll just get you to step your toe over the edge and book the ticket. Because I do other events as well. It's not always just the deep dive into vulnerability and nudity. So I've got so much on offer. So just message me. I want to talk.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for taking your time today. Everything will be in the show notes as well. So if you don't feel like the spelling your name, you can just click her link down below. It'll all be there. But yeah, my heart's so grateful for you, Ricky, and everything that you do in this world. And thank you for joining us today.
Yay. Thank you, Carly. Thank you. Much love, sister.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I would love to hear your key takeaways. So please leave a review on your favorite podcast app and don't forget to share this episode on social media and tag me at Carly Jade. Now go out and find your feminine.